What's up? Welcome to episode one, Saints and Pioneer, Jesse Crow.
My chair just squeaked. I swear to God, I didn't pass gas just then.
That's an awesome way to start out. That is us in a nutshell, folks, if you want to know. Well, so we put out a trailer not long ago. Here we are. This is something we've talked about for, honestly, quite some time, but this is we just felt this was the right time. And so here we are, Saints and Pioneers, and the first passing gas joke is... we're off for the races now. So what you think, man? What's going on,
man? Just living my best life.
Yes, sir. That's right. Well, so our idea to today, and we've got some exciting things coming up that we can't share just yet, but I know we're gonna have some great folks join us along the way. We said that in the trailer, friends, ministry partners, surprise guests that we'll have along the way. But all with a theme of this pioneering story. But Jesse and I kind of thought it would be good to go back and just revisit, like, why we're doing this. We obviously want to talk about that today. And then just thought it'd be a great place to even talk about how we met, how God's even brought us together this last few years and this season of our life. And so... I was trying to think back. To me, it was the early 2000s. I don't know if you remember an exact time or not.
I think the first time that you and I kind of bumped into each other was at Hepzibah Baptist Church.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
I do, yeah.
And I played your favorite song.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was, it kind of started to be a theme.
It did.
Like, at the time... I was still working in youth ministry, college ministry, whatever, and just like you guys were doing a lot.
You know
what
I just realized?
What's that?
The thing that has kind of brought us together,
right,
more is being uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah.
With what we're doing.
Yeah, yeah.
If you think about it.
Yeah.
It's like just kind of shaking off the status quo.
Right.
Of like ministry, faith, you know, faith walk. Or whatever.
Yeah.
That's been the one thing
that sort of
caused us to bump into each other.
Right. Which ties into the pioneering aspect that we,
I just thought
that
of
we
that.
Talked about it. Yeah. And so I remember, it just was, God, man, a handful of times, you know how that is. Like when somebody asks you guys to be a worship band or, me to come speak at an event, you don't necessarily know everybody that's going to be there. And I can't tell you, probably five times, if I remember right, times would show up and I would be the one speaking and then you or whoever would be there as a band. And so just these run-ins all the time, good connection, but then it would kind of seem like it might be a year or so before we'd see each other again.
Yeah.
Can I make a confession?
Please.
I think I've told you this before. I don't know, and I'm glad it worked out, but we have a mutual friend.
Are you about to confess your love to me?
Yes, I love you very much. we have a mutual friend, Reggie Nichols.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
Reggie used to, so when I was a youth pastor, Reggie would come and lead worship quite a bit for us. For those that remember Reggie, if you're listening, we can't get enough of that Gorilla Man gun. You remember that?
Oh, my gosh. I remember those days.
We're not doing video yet on the podcast. Maybe a few clips here and there, but if you could have seen Jesse's eye roll there, just imagine as you listen. But so I was serving at a church as a youth pastor, and we were having a Disciple Now weekend. And Reggie was supposed to come and lead worship. Had something come up, had to cancel, and he's like, man, you really need to have this guy, Jesse Crow, come. And I remember being so disappointed because I was like, man, we love Reggie.
You got the B team.
Yeah, I got the B team.
I was the B team.
And that was the one where I held on to your Bible for like 10 years or something. I read
you
it
did.
To you. It was like, old preacher joke. It's like, how's that Bible study going? It's been a decade. But you Jesus juked me back to you had multiple copies of the word. So, but man, that was one of my earliest memories. And then, yeah, like I said, Hepzibah, I remember being one of them. And then just seemed like other places we would run into each other, but just never, you know, had much connection outside of those things. But for me, And we talked about this in the trailer, and I think those that, at least in the beginning, will be listening know mine and your connection that founding members of the church at Southside. But when we started that thing, very, very initial stages, that was a house church that turned into a building and then to what we're doing now. From the very onset, I was telling people that was involved, I was like, man, I know the guy I feel is supposed to be the worship pastor here. And the only problem was is that you weren't aboard with that. So do you remember any of those times, any of the feelings that were going around? Like you played in our basement.
Yes.
At the house, like when we were just maybe not even a name as a church, but helping us kind of get things kicked off.
Well, and yes, I do remember that time. And I will say, I was just coming out of a time. I was a worship leader at a church for almost 10 years.
Yeah.
At that time, a church down in McCalla. And that church was kind of folding in on itself at that time. No controversy, no nothing like that. It was just you had a group of people that were just exhausted.
Yeah.
Which is another, we'll circle back to that because that comes back to the uncomfortable thing. I was just tapped out. I was just 10 years into this trying to make this church work as this, trying to be this different kind of church, which no offense towards churches, but every time I hear somebody, we're a different kind of church, you go to it, it's like, no, it's kind of the same.
That was
kind of us. We did some things that were a little bit out of the box,
right?
And they were, you know, controversial in some way, but it was just the same stuff over and over again. And I will say, the first time I walked into the situation with you and the church at Southside, looking back, it felt like home to me.
Mm.
And I will tell you the story that where you hooked me. Mm. I'll tell you the story when you had me.
Yeah.
Was like, let me just say this. So I don't lead worship much anymore outside of church at Southside. I just don't do that at other churches anymore for a lot of different reasons. Yeah. I write original music. People that know, you know, that listen to this probably know that. I do that now, but, church ministry can be so militant.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you get there and you gotta perform, you gotta play the songs. It's like a production,
right?
You know, it's like you gotta be on, you gotta be, you know, you gotta do it the right way. Everything's gotta be polished and nice and good. Well, when I started coming, you said to me, you said, well, you know, you can lead worship or not lead worship. Mm-hmm. We just want you here. That's what I heard from you from the beginning.
Yeah.
Well, when I had found out that my old church was kind of going away, it was pretty heartbreaking. I was kind of ready for it looking back. I mean, it was kind of a relief for a lot of us. Yeah. Mike, our friend, like he was the pastor there, and he would say the same thing. Like he and I were exhausted.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
But it was tough. It was a tough thing, and I found out like that day, I think, or that night, the night before.
It was
bad, and it was fresh. I was really raw, and I walked in, and you said. You tell I was upset, and he's like, "What's wrong?" And I just told you, dude, that you know the church. You know, I told you about the church that I was part of. It's closing its doors, 10 years of work, and it's just And the situation I had with y'all, I was coming every other Sunday to just sort of help out, get it going,
right?
So I was still involved with the other church, and I came in that day, and I was really upset, and you could tell I just wasn't in the headspace to play.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, well, dude, I'm like, man, you know, how about you just not play today?
Yeah.
And like for a new church, a new church plant, you know, any other pastor would have said, oh, man, I'm sorry. Well, let's get going. We got to get going. We got new people coming in. We got to put on a good impression, you know.
Yeah.
But that was when I realized that was when it became home to me.
Wow.
Because it was like, I don't have to do that here.
Yeah, yeah.
To feel like I'm playing a, to feel like I'm contributing, yeah. Or feel like I'm a part of things.
Right.
Because before that, music was like whenever I would start going to a church and people would find out that I was a decent guitar player and decent mm-hmm. worship leader, it was like, oh man,
yeah,
we got to get you up there. Because like churches use and abuse people. Let's yeah. just say it out loud.
Yeah.
Like volunteers.
Oh yeah.
You know, you always have, you've got, at any given church, if it's got 200, 300,000 people, you've got 1,000 people that are super nice and happy, and you got about 10 folks that are just freaking exhausted.
Yeah, yeah. Let's get him to do it. He's a sucker. He'll say yes. He always does.
But, like, yeah. when it really kind of gave me this impression, which I found to be the accurate impression, that we're more about, like, reading the moment, feeling the moment, feeling what God's doing in the moment,
yeah.
not being married to a program, not being married to what we need to do on a given Sunday, letting there be an interruptions. Mm-hmm. And so that was when I kind of got hooked into that,
because yeah.
I just realized, okay, this is somewhere I can rest.
Yeah.
I've never worked so hard at a church, but I've never felt so rested in ministry in my life, I don't think. I don't know if you feel
there's,
that way. But.
Yeah, there's always been room for interruptions at Southside. In fact, God just brought to mind a story I didn't plan to share today, but I remember one day, I can't remember if you were leading worship. This was early on. This was at the building. We had moved from a house church to the building, and a young lady comes up to me and says, I'm just singing along with whoever's leading worship. And she says, I don't know quite what's going on, but there's a guy in the ditch out here. I don't know if you remember being there that day or if that even resonates, but
I do remember.
I walked outside, and God help him, it was a Hispanic gentleman, I think, possibly. I'm just reading the situation, maybe too many cervezas the night before. And he had on some really nice, I'll never forget this, he had on really nice snakeskin boots.
Of course he did.
And they were just flailing in the ditch. He was trying to get up. And so here I am, pastor of a new church plant. Somebody's come to me. And so me and another guy, we grabbed him up and could speak no English. But we were able to get enough of general direction of where he said he lived. And we, you know, I just come in and told him, I was like, hey, y'all just keep doing worship. Somebody can say a prayer, whatever, but like I feel like I need to go, you know, with this guy and get him home. And we got him home. Fortunately, there was somebody there that could speak English. And we were like, just don't let him drive. Like, take his keys, yeah. whatever. Yeah. So, yeah, the interruptions are good. Well, I'll say that, like, the interchange, even that you were a part of, was, I believe, a pioneering mission for sure. I know. Was familiar of that back then, even though we weren't close of what you guys were doing and everything. But you said something that just, I think, leads to maybe our pioneering story of the church at Southside. Because we said the same thing. We're going to start this house church, and we're going to be a different, you know, church.
Yeah.
The difference was we started as a house church, even didn't have a name for a while, you know, just, and it was a very... pure time. In fact, I mean, this is going back times. Like, how old's Gideon now?
He is, he'll be 14.
14.
Next month.
So I remember teaching one time. I think Tegan's still in like a car seat type thing.
Yeah.
And Gideon, in the middle of me teaching, bringing up a soggy Cheeto and handing it to like little bitty, like, Gideon.
I do remember that. Yeah. In the middle of the thing.
Yeah. And it was like, I ate the soggy Cheeto and just kept on going and stuff. So another interruption, but that was a good one. I'll remember.
That was back in the days of Chubby Keith.
Chubby Keith
loved some Cheetos.
Chubby Keith, yeah.
Even a soggy one.
I think it was like, hey, got any more of them Cheetos, kid? But here was the thing. It's like we said we wanted to have this different heart. And so the natural progression is we had grown to a point where we outgrown our basement down there. And so we, you know, this building comes up, and it was a God thing. I think it was the right next step. But it was funny, you mentioned every church says they want to be different. The next thing we know, we look and we got chairs in a row, we've got a screen, it's the three songs, it's the message, it's the invitation. It's like our heart was anybody, even a flailing, you know, guy in a ditch is welcome. Yeah. You know, no matter what shape, no matter what lifestyle, race, religion, class, any of that's welcome. The problem, though, got to be that everybody looked the same, everything functioned the same. And it's mm-hmm. like, I know for me, it was maddening of knowing God had called us to something different. But it's like the old headlight illustration. It's like we only had a little bit of the picture. It's like he had not revealed yet. And so I think it's a beautiful place to kind of venture in and say, okay, if we've called to be this different church, but here we are right back in the same rut, the same routine. And this is just, I mean, huge breaking news here. What we began to do was pray and ask God, like, you know, speak into this.
Right.
For me, I was involved in a ministry that was really targeted towards homeless people. It was helping, you know, 1 week we'd go out and do meals at you know, one of the individuals' camps that we knew. The next week we would alternate and go grab everybody, take them out, you know, to dinner or whatever. And that was always, you know, exciting and met some great people that way. And what struck me was we were 3 years in that building. And I would invite. And these were people I had deep personal relationships with that, like, I was their emergency contact at the hospital. I'd been with them to the hospital, taking them to appointments, things like that. They'd been to my home. None of them would come. And, you know, then I began to dig and ask questions like, why won't you, you know, I'll even give you a ride. I'll come pick you up. And you started getting some of the surface level problems that we were able to quickly squash. Was like, I don't have the right clothes. And it's like, man, we're not that kind of place. You don't have to dress up. You know, I don't have a ride. We had that covered. But then the heartbreaking stories came. It was like, I've been to church before and here's what happened. Mm-hmm. One notable that sticks to mind, and it's a church that does have a great program where they provide meals weekly. But this individual told me they went to that church gathering on a Sunday morning hungry. Not spiritually hungry, like physically hungry, like hadn't eaten in a couple of days. And their first thought was, I know that church has food.
Right.
They go, and the story went that, and I'm sure they just hit the wrong individual on a wrong day.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But the individual told them, you stay out here. When we finish service, then we'll, you know, come and get you and we'll take you and grab you some food. And I'm like, I'm breaking on the inside of like, why not get the guy a sandwich and come let him sit beside you?
Yeah,
you know? And so that was some of the stories that we started encountering. And so we then had this thing of like, okay, God just laying out some things of like, why don't you go to them?
Right.
And so do you remember us praying through some of that? Any things that jump out, you know, when we're praying through leaving that building and becoming what we are now, us mobile church plant out in the streets of Birmingham?
Well, yeah, like I remember that moment, and it was a weighty moment, because mm-hmm. it was like we were all seasoned people in the ministry, mm-hmm. man. Like didn't know it all, obviously, mm-hmm. didn't have it all figured out, but we were. It was that uncomfortable place. It was that unrest.
Yeah,
we felt that unrest. We felt this like. We feel like we're doing all the right things, but there's something we're missing. And I would like to offer a word of encouragement. I do think we need to go back to our timeline of how we met. I mm-hmm. want to get back to that too.
Yeah.
But I do think it's important to mention for anybody that hears this, that's a part of a church, mm-hmm. you're trying to be a different church, you're trying to be a... There's nothing wrong with doing things differently. There's right. nothing wrong with doing things the same old way.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the thing that we learned, and we're not the only people that's learned this. I mean,
yeah.
there's a lot. I can think of several churches right now that are doing things the right way by doing what we did. But we just didn't move until we felt God leading us.
Yeah,
that's the difference.
Yeah,
that's what's frustrating about church ministry is it sort of drifts into this direction of. You start out kind of different, but it's different to be different.
Right.
For a lot of people, it's different for the sake of being different.
Mm-hmm.
And But at some point, you can't stay there. You can't stay in that different just to be different. You have to get to a place. Jesus is the head of the church. That's what we've been saying from the beginning.
Right.
Like when, you know, you would have people that would come up and go, hey, I want to sing a song before church starts. Mm-hmm. And you're like, okay.
Yeah.
Well, what do I do? Well, you grab that microphone over there. Mm-hmm. In about 5 minutes, we're going to start and you're going to start singing. It's right. that simple. Right. Because we acknowledge the fact.
And can we say we've heard some good and we've heard some bad?
We've heard some
and,
bad, yeah.
And no judgment. If I grabbed the mic and said, God led me to sing a song, it would be one of the bad ones. Like, no question.
But the fact that we've always acknowledged we're not driving this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is the Spirit of God. And it's crucially important that we're walking with God.
Yeah.
Luckily, we have a group of people. We've developed this group. No, I say develop them. I don't say we've developed into a group of people.
Yeah.
That walk with Jesus. And and it always leads us into a direction that's that we didn't, you know, we didn't think we would go or whatever. Yeah. I mean, I would have never thought. I will say, let me just tell you one story.
Mm-hmm.
So this is funny to me because years ago at another church, I don't want to say the name of the church.
Yeah.
But I was at a church and there were some folks at that church who were doing homeless ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And they were very militant about it.
Mm-hmm.
And they were good and they were doing good things. But I think the delivery of the message to people like me that are that have a house and live in a, you know, work a job and stuff and whatever, like regular person, that sounds terrible. I sound like a typical American right now. You know.
Yeah, you do, but that's okay.
Anyway, somebody like me finds like a little bit off-putting because it's like, we need to be doing this. We need to be doing. And I just remember many of Sundays feeling guilty.
Right.
Like going home feeling guilty, like, oh, God, man, I should be out there.
Yeah.
You know, and I never did. I never went.
Right.
And now, 7 years that we're into this?
Yeah, almost eight.
Every Sunday, unless I'm out of town or something,
yeah,
I'm with my friends outside, and it's the easiest thing in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I say all that to say, when Jesus leads you in a direction, there is no guilt.
Yeah, yeah.
There's conviction.
Right.
But let me tell you, like, convictions can be very refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
It actually can be. But guilt yields very short-term fruit.
Yeah.
Sooner or later, people are going to shake guilt off, and they're going to head in the other direction.
Yeah.
But when God leads you, that's just a testament to...
Yeah.
When God leads you in a direction, it's just good. Man.
Guilt leads me to behavioral modification.
Yeah.
It's like if God's really in it, there's this compelling to want to do that because of what he's called me into. Normally a beautiful story, right?
Right.
But guilt, it's like, well, I need to read more. I need to pray more. Like it just goes through the old religious, spirit.
Yeah.
And so the Southside thing, when we began to pray about that, you could look at the story and say, well, man, what a great coincidence. We don't, you know, necessarily believe in that. But there was this building, this office building that was close by to where a lot of the friends I knew that lived out on the streets, different camps. It was like right in the central location.
Mm-hmm.
First people I ever reached out to, it was weird. I went through the company directory. I didn't know an individual on there. I honestly even prayed like, God, who do I send this to?
I totally forgot about this.
Who do I send this email? I sent an email and I had not told you guys this at the front. We were praying about the next steps.
Yeah.
And of course I even mentioned there's like, I'm one vote, but like I asked the lady, I said, what would it look like for, some people, not all of us, even at this point, some of our people in our church to meet in your parking lot. We don't need anything, just your parking lot. Invite a few of our friends that are in the area that, some of them are homeless, some of them, you know, lower income, down and out, whatever. that won't come to us, but if we come out there, maybe, you know, could we use your place? And full transparency, I've shared this so many times in different platforms and different things. I always share it when I go and share the Southside story or, you know, articles that have been written, all those things, because it's such a testimony to God being in something.
Mm-hmm.
When I wrote that originally, I knew, and I'm saying I knew 100% the email I was going to get back was going to be, one, maybe we're not a Christian company. Our insurance would never allow this. Are you crazy?
Mm.
The message I got back, I've almost had it memorized, you know, since that point. The message I got back was, we would love to explore the possibility. It didn't say yes. We would love to explore the possibility of partnering with you to reach the homeless of our city with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm like, okay, like, I got to go back to the team and be like, hey, here's what I've done. Here's, you know, all this. And we were already talking, like, what's the next stages look like? What does it look like if we even were to go to a group of people that won't come to us?
Mm.
And when I got that, I mean, I'm sitting here years later with chills. That landed us in a boardroom where we talked, you know, with people, CFO, CEO of a company, all this stuff. And when we talked, you know, I had, of course, you know, they're like, bring us a presentation, you know, this talk of what you plan to do. And I remember, you know, having some notes in my head, maybe even a few things written down that, you know, just wanted to make sure and let them know we'd treat their place with respect. And I even remember in that talk, you know, say I'd planned to talk for 5 minutes, like about 2 minutes in, the CFO is like, I've heard enough, like stops me. I'm like, well, it was a good run. You know, it was a good run. And his next words, he says, I've heard enough. Let's give him a shot. And, you know, we were there for a few years. And
that
then
mug was like, I got other meetings.
Yeah,
man.
Let's get on with it. I got stuff to do. But winds up, you know, letting us meet there. We met there for years. And, you know, the property gets sold. And I even remember the feelings of just, okay, God, and like, now we've got all these people coming, and that was a slow. Remember, we did that for a while, and nobody showed.
It was frustrating.
Not only frustrating, like, be totally transparent. Like, God, are you even real?
Yeah,
because you've let us out here, and it
was
November.
This just me?
It was November.
You know,
it was cold.
Yeah,
and like, we had heat at the building. It's cold out here.
Yeah.
And then two turned to four, and then to six, and. We like to say this, it was Holy Spirit and bacon. When we started cooking bacon, it sure seemed like outside that smell wafting over the Birmingham area.
You know, it's those thoughts where it's like you feel like you hear God tell you something and you act on it and then nothing happens. And you're like, I don't know about you, but it's like, was this just Jesse's good idea?
Yeah.
Or bad idea?
Right.
Or was this really the Lord?
Yeah. And then there was I'm just thinking of another pleasant memory here, pleasant, not so pleasant, of you saying that moment that you felt home. And I never will forget, because it's an exciting day for a pastor when somebody says, I'm so proud that you're my pastor. Do you remember what moment that you first told me that?
I do. Do we want to talk about that?
You started with a past gas joke, so I think
okay.
It's okay.
I want to tell the story, but then I want to go back to our timeline, because I know people, as we do more podcasts, they're going to come back. They're going to want to know. I would always want to know, how do these people meet? How did this happen?
Yeah.
So I want to come back to that.
Okay.
I don't want to forget that.
All right.
So, it's terrible.
Yeah.
God, I'm going to try and censor this so it doesn't.
Fast forward about 30 seconds to a minute if you're queasy or anything like that.
So, we were meeting at the people that Keith, long story short here, the people that you emailed, they have a board meeting. They say yes. We start meeting probably a few months into it. We had a guy that I guess we could say his name because he's no longer with us.
Yeah.
Which is very sad.
Well, it was allegedly him. We'll say that, allegedly.
Yes, it was him.
I think it was him.
crap, I forgot his name.
Jojo.
Jojo. Yeah, Jojo. Jojo was...
Yeah.
Jojo. Yeah. JoJo
for,
was a
for
character.
Reference. That
JoJo
was the
was
sound
a,
he
JoJo
used to
had
make.
the mental disposition of a squirrel.
Yeah,
he was all over the place.
Yeah,
and it could have been that he might have been using something.
Yeah, can I paint a picture of him real quick?
Yes, please.
Safety vest, always.
Always a safety
bright,
vest.
Bright yellow safety vest. Boots, normally with sweatpants tucked inside them.
Yep.
The noise that Jesse made, he does it much better. He's always very animated with his hands. Every time, though, I saw him, God gave me a vision of John the Baptist.
Oh, yeah.
Like long, he had long hair, just this long, just kind of wild beard. But I'll tell you this, he would walk so far.
He would, yeah.
To get to where we were at, both locations. But he has gone on, and we know he knows the Lord. He's
right.
He's home now.
Yeah.
So.
So JoJo, now, again, we don't have the evidence to prove this, but one could deduce that this is what happened. JoJo had gotten his fill. He had eaten his food. He had gotten his provision for the week, and then he slipped around the corner and decided to relieve himself.
Yes.
Not number two.
Yes.
In not on the sidewalk.
Yes.
Not in the gutter. In the doorway.
Yes.
Of these kind people's fancy office. Now these people are they and there's $1 million deals going on in this building.
Yes.
Okay.
He left it in such a strategic location.
He
we could not leave
literally
it.
Yeah. Backed it up to the to the glass pane, and he did his thing right there on the thing. Now here's the deal, okay? Jesse don't do poop, okay? I just don't do it. I don't do human excrement.
Right.
I just can't handle it. Yeah. I throw up. I'll make more of a mess by vomiting,
right?
Trying to clean it up than I would just cleaning it up. So, Keith, like, I go over and I look, we got a situation over here. I don't know what to tell you. Meanwhile, JoJo's, he's bolted. He's
left
like,
the scene of the crime.
I mean, he got the hell out of there, you know? So I round the corner. Keith, it's like, what? And I said, dude, we got a situation. You come over there and you literally put on rubber gloves like a boss.
Yeah.
And clean.
Well,
that
I wouldn't
junk.
Say like a boss. I had my shirt over my nose.
Cleaned it up, and I'm standing over there. And I can't even look in that direction. I'm on the street at this point. I'm trying to get so far away from it. Every time I look at you cleaning it up, I dry heave.
Yeah.
You know. So, yeah, it was.
And then he tells me after, he says, I'm so proud you're a pastor. I said, man, could you have picked another way?
Hey, let me tell one more story about JoJo. So me and Caroline, my wife, we're driving down 280. If you're from Birmingham, you know 280 is the part where the summit is and all that. So
long way from where he normally is, too.
Very far. Again, he walks so far. So we're going down 280. We were over there for something, I don't remember. And it's lunchtime. We're like, hey, let's drop in over at the Chick-fil-A over here and grab some food. Kids were not with us. I think her mom had the kids, and we were just kind of having a, you know, nice little Saturday. Maybe some Home Depot. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I don't know if I'll have enough time.
There you go.
Anyway, so we're driving down 280, and I passed JoJo walking down the median.
Right.
And me and Caroline both look at each other. She was like, was that? I was like, yes.
Yeah.
So we Yui around there and go back, and I pull over, and I was like, I roll down the window. I said, dude, what are you doing? And he goes, hey man. I said, get in, man. And I said, where are you going? He said, I came over here to work or something. And he's like, I'm about to go down here and catch the bus. And I said, well, dude, look, I said, where's the bus stop? And he pointed, and it was down the road. It was like right by Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
I said, we're going to go eat lunch. Are you hungry? Man, I'd love some lunch, you know?
Yeah.
So he goes and eats lunch with us, and had a great lunch, you know, got to talk to him a little bit more, got to know him a little bit more, what we could, because he's JoJo. I mean, his brain's all over the place.
Yeah.
We get in the car. We're 30 minutes into this podcast. We're already talking about this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
He passes gas.
Yeah.
And I swear, it sounded like the gates of hell had opened. And this foul odor. It was the worst.
Yeah.
So me and Caroline are trying to be nice. We were in the car. Let me back up. We had finished our food, got in the car, and I'm taking him down to the bus stop, which is a mile down the road. Yeah. And we got in the car, and so, but me and her both are trying to be polite because I didn't want to go, what is that smell?
Yeah.
And by the time I'm like, if I don't roll out the window, I may pass out. So bad it was. By the time he goes, man, I'm sorry about that.
He owned it.
I couldn't hold it. So finally we're like, God, yeah. Roll down the window. We're both like, oh, yeah. Oh, and he's laughing and we're laughing. And it was a yeah. funny kind of moment or whatever.
I remember that specific because you called me immediately after you got done with that scenario. It was like, you're not going to believe who I encountered and what I encountered yeah. on 280. But
so back to the timeline.
Yeah.
So we have to early 2000s. Mm-hmm. You and I bump into each other at Hepzibah.
Right.
Right. Hepzibah Baptist Church.
Yeah. It was like a youth Sunday.
It was a youth Sunday. Yeah. They had us play. Mm-hmm. Our friend Bryant Frederick. Remember Bryant? Mm-hmm. He was the youth pastor
yeah,
back
yeah.
then. You know, Bryant and I were really good friends in high school. Like, right. We were best friends.
Yeah.
So he had us come and play. You'd come and spoke. Now that was after 2003. Because I was already at the interchange by 2003.
Okay.
So that would have been 2004, 2005, I think. Mm-hmm. Something like that.
Yeah.
So bumping each other then, mm-hmm. and then years later, or no, it was before that I came and played mm-hmm. for you at that church yeah. in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, so I think that was the first time.
The church in Tuscaloosa, Hepzibah Baptist Church. Mm-hmm. And then years later, you called me, I think, about something. Mm-hmm. We had ran into each other. But then years later in 2010, mm-hmm. 2011, 2012, somewhere in that neighborhood. I think it was 2011, maybe.
Yeah.
You had me come and lead worship at the college yeah. deal that yeah. y'all had at Christ
yeah, it was
City
the church.
Church
plan I'd worked with Christ City right. Church before the church at Southside.
So that was when I had a conversation with Jamie. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know if you were standing there. Mm-hmm. But she and I joked about how many times you and I had kind of bumped into each other. And right. she kind of winked and was like, maybe God's telling y'all something.
Yeah.
And that was when it was kind of like, huh.
Yeah.
You know, and then, and so as far as timeline goes, that church that closed its mm-hmm. doors was starting to fade into the sunset. Mm-hmm. I was with you at Christ City. That went on for a little while. I think I played two or three times.
Yeah.
And then you guys broke away from that and started that church. And...
Well, started a church to be named later. The
started a church to be named yeah. later. Called me back in mm-hmm. for that, 2013, 2014, whatever. Yeah. And then yeah. the rest is history.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, it's so fun to look back and see some of that. But, man, the journey to going out there, I mean, here's my hope, and I feel like it's Jesse's too. I mean, we've got many things that we want to do with this podcast, right? But the idea even of saints and pioneers, when we call someone or call ourselves saints, it's not in the term of like we're these great people and, you know, there should be a painting or a statue after us or whatever. It simply is the priesthood of the believer, the saints, the followers of God. And so that's all God's story of redemption. And so that's going to come through in whatever we yeah. talk about. I mean, we're going to have episodes. We love to hunt. In fact, we hunt together, you know, all kind of things. Jesse, obviously really involved in music, a lot of that around his faith, some of it, you know, secular songs, whatever. Like, we'll talk about that stuff, entertainment. He's already hit you with a Will Ferrell quote today. So, I mean, there's no telling, but we're going to have guests and stuff as well. But that pioneering part is this idea we feel that when God calls us into relationship, he doesn't just call us to then go and get in our Sunday best mm-hmm. and sit in a pew.
Yeah.
And hear our heart on this. Like, we are not against a church that has a building. That's one knock I feel like we get that's maybe undeserved. Because if I've ever gone somewhere and shared this church at Southside story, which we have many times together even, one of the things I always start, I'm not telling you to sell your building. I'm not telling you any of this stuff. And in fact, I believe that's honestly why some haven't
right.
Gotten us to come and share, you know, that you know, nervousness of like, well, what are they going to say? But the idea is to call out of that comfortable thing. Jesse had mentioned that, just that becoming a little uncomfortable. And what really started to churn in me of like, we said we wanted to be this different kind of body, this different kind of fellowship, was I began to look in the Gospels. I began to look in a lot of the New Testament, Paul's letters. And man, there was a whole lot about faith.
Yeah.
And I remember asking on a Sunday, and this was, I teach like this a lot of ways. When I teach a lot of the times and I say something that seems like challenging to somebody or convicting or whatever, it's probably because it's already convicted and been challenging to me. Like I'm dealing with it too, like speaking from the heart. And I remember being at a crisis of faith, which happens often. Mm-hmm. Like you'll hear about that. Like my title that some people call me as pastor, where I prefer, you know, just Keith. I don't feel any kind of different. We don't joke about it, but we say that Jesus is the head pastor of our church. Like we're just other, you know, members of that body. But when that happens and when you speak from a place from your heart, a lot of times there's this crisis of faith or doubt or things going on. Like this Sunday, I'm going to be teaching about worry and anxiety. I've just come out of a season that's been full of worry and anxiety. So it's coming from a personal, you know, place. And so the same thing was that day. I asked our body, this small church body. In fact, we'd run off a few people, I think, at that point because we were talking about doing something different. And I asked about the question of faith. It's like, okay, faith is so prominent in Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
What are we doing right now, individually, but as a body that requires faith?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, what are we doing that is so big right now that if God doesn't show up, it's not going to work?
Right.
And honestly, I looked at a room full of people looking back at me. He's like, I got nothing, right? Like, we don't need faith right now. And we use the examples of we had full closet full of clothes, a roof over our head, a full refrigerator, a doctor, you know, that we had his number if we're sick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what did we need faith for other than that ticket to heaven? We're like, there's got to be more. And so that praying of God, we want to be involved in something so pioneering, getting back to the name of the show and why, something so outside of ourselves. But I don't think that's just a call for the church at Southside. I think it's for every believer.
Absolutely, yeah.
I just think of it in the terms of this. There's one of my favorite psalms, and I've shared this several times when I share the story, but Psalm 139, that just talks about the creation of us as individuals, that intricately woven, the knitted together in our mother's womb, the fearfully and wonderfully made.
Yeah.
That if God is going to go to such extremes in creativity to make each individual different,
yeah,
the ultimate call to go is out there. Like Jesus, like, took that. You know, there's no doubt about that, right? Like the last thing he tells his disciples is go and make disciples, right?
Yeah.
Who make disciples, that multiplying God math.
Right.
But I think each and every individual believer's go is going to be different, just like you're different than every individual. And so our hope in this is that as you hear maybe some of what we feel God has given us as a pioneering story, we invite others, you know, from other walks of life, other ministries, other places, other states, other, you know, countries even. Their pioneering story is that it sparks creativity in you listening to God.
Yes.
And finding what he created. That's my main hope for this whole thing. First, that you could too be a saint, you know, a child of God.
Right.
But once you find that, not to be caught in that box of, because really, if you take Paul's illustration of the church, right? Christ is the head, we're the body, all these many members. But if you really want to use that illustration, what it turns into a lot in modern Western church for sure is you have a pastor. So what is that? That's the tongue, right? He's right. Speaking or she's speaking, whatever setup you have. They're speaking. The rest of the congregation or body, if you will, are turned into sets of ears, where they sit there and they take all this information in, and then that's it.
Right.
You know, and it's like, man, when you look at that call to faith and that call to step out and that each individual's creative go, like there's got to be more than just sitting in a seat, listening to a TED talk, if you will.
Right.
Or a pep talk, whichever way you want to say it. But thoughts on that?
Well, and, you know, and I think it bears repeating too, like there's so many times that we've had people come out and go, you know, we've talked about they come out to the church at Southside, that are you know, man, we would love to do this, but you know, and it's not like we are not to, we no we are we saying that you should sell your building and go out? No, but we are saying that if Christ is not at the head of anything that you do, your life in general, not just your church, you've got a massive reorientation that needs to happen.
Yeah.
If you're going to follow Jesus. And like, cause I mean, you know, I'm so impressed with the fact that Jesus was so like beside himself when someone actually believed in him.
Mm-hmm.
Like Jesus actually cared what people thought of him.
Yeah.
Like we think of him as this, a lot of people think of him in different ways. We think of him as this, you know, this teacher who was sure of himself and he was.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, when the disciples, he asked the disciples, "What are people saying about me?"
Mm-hmm.
What a sort of vulnerable question to ask about yourself.
Yeah,
you know, and the disciples are like, "Well, some say you're Elijah the prophet. Some they've come back from the dead. Some people say you're this, or some people say you're that." And he looks at them and he goes, "What do you say?"
Yeah.
And they said, we think you're the Son of God.
Yeah.
And then there's another time where all these people left.
Mm.
And he looked at the disciples and said, so are you going to leave too?
Yeah.
And I love Peter's response. He's like, where else are we going to go?
Yeah.
Like, you have the words of life.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, geez, like the thing is like, the church as a whole in our world has gotten so off base, not because they built a building,
right?
Not because they have millions of dollars invested in stage and lights. Mm-hmm. That's not why the church has gotten off base.
Mm-hmm.
The church as a whole has gotten off base because they have forgotten that Jesus had to be at the center of it. Mm-hmm. He had to be at the front of it.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that all churches have fallen to that.
Right.
But I think a lot have.
Yeah.
And
I would say, too, we're not saying the church at Southside's perfect.
No. We've made a ton of mistakes. Yeah. Like
this week.
Yeah.
I mean.
Well, and like not praying over things.
Mm-hmm.
We've tripped over our own feet before, you know. But the pioneering thing requires that you have faith.
Yeah.
It requires, because you get out on the trail, so to speak, that to follow the illustration.
Yeah.
And there's nothing else you can really lean into other than, okay, well, God, what do you say?
Right.
Like, what are you calling us to do here? Like, what do you want us to do? How do we respond to this, you know? Mm-hmm. And we've become more and more comfortable with walking that way, like following God in that way and listening to God and inviting him into anything, into everything, anything and everything.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean,
well, saying yes to that pioneering story that he's called us to, I mean, think of all the opportunities that's opened up just by following him with a yes.
Right.
Like, you know, I think back and I've, you know, in traditional churches I've been a part of, I've had some amazing times, you know, some, you know, definite God, you know, mountaintop experiences and everything, but I can't ever remember, you know, being afforded an opportunity like the drunk guy that shows up, you know, in the ditch.
Yeah.
You know, we've literally washed people's feet that have come barefooted, given them, you know, or somebody's gone and bought them shoes. Or, you know, I think the guy that was beat to heck and back that day that came that we were able to bandage up and, you know, he tells me the funny story where he's cussing several times. He can't get, you know, past the story. It's like, it's fine. I get it. She is what you're saying, you know, just move on.
He called her the B word.
Yeah, he did.
Several times.
But
and he kept apologizing after.
Yeah, I was like, time. I get it. I get it. She hit you with a stick. I probably would say the same thing, too. But, you know, it just feels like God is in the midst, and it's so different every time we're out.
Yeah.
Not to mention we've met some of the coolest people in our city.
Yeah.
And yeah. It's something that hit me early on. I did just make a mental note of this because I want to give you credit. You said it early on because we deal with a lot of people, whether homeless, you know, just life situations. God, we've encountered so many that's been dealt a bad hand, and, you know, from family or from, you know, just life just continually just heaping on. And we said something early on. I remember saying something to you about, like, I just have never felt, you know, the presence of God like I have out here.
Mm-hmm.
And you, it's a verse that we well know, but you stumbled on it one day, and I remember you, like, that's it. That's the reason why. And it's Psalm 34:18. The Lord is near the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. And really, this pioneering thing, I think that's where God takes you, is to the broken. And we all are, right?
Yeah.
We're all. But a lot of times what we see in traditional churches, you know, especially those that have, you know, a building that would rival a, you know, YMCA, you know, that's got all the stuff and all the things and the programs and all this, just as broken people that live under a bridge, if not more so some ways.
Yeah.
But the mask, like I had a pastor tell me that one time. It's like, man, I can't imagine ministering how you do and to the people you do. And it's like, dude, I got it easy.
Right.
I got people that come in that are hung over from the night before, or just shot up, or and not everybody's like that. I don't mean to paint that picture. Or that have extreme, you know, issues going on and like just need that plate of food that they're about to get.
Yeah.
And it's like, there are no masks.
Mm-mm.
You know, on a lot of pioneering things, there's no mask. And in some of those where it just seems to have gotten sterile, and maybe going back to the illustration of one tongue and all these ears, and, you know, that's the body, that's their local body. You've got everybody there, the first greeting, how you doing? And everybody's like, man, I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're not going to put themselves out there. But, you know, the guy that comes out with no shoes, you know, and is hungover from the night before, like, there's no hiding that, but they still come.
Right, yeah.
You know, that's been one of the beautiful things to me. But
well, and so just to kind of refresher on the timeline, when did we, because I've forgotten, when did we, so we started at your house in what year? What year was that?
I think that was 2013 or 12. 12 or 13.
12 or 13. And then I think I came along. Tegan was a newborn, so I came on 2013, 2014. Mm-hmm. And then we were at the building we actually ended up back at.
Yeah, yeah. We've got it as a storage for all our food.
It's just a storage. You walk in there, and that's what it looks like.
Yeah.
Boxes stacked up of provision.
Mm-hmm.
We were we originally had church there. That was where we had that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, God, what are you doing? Like, what do you want us to do? Like, nobody's showing up to this thing.
Yeah.
And then it was like, why don't we go to them?
Right.
And so that next Sunday, wasn't it?
It was the
following Sunday.
First Sunday of November 2016.
Right.
So we're coming up. I mean, November 24 will be 8 years.
Wow.
And I'll say this, too. The great thing about it, like, we're always...
Well, let me say this real quick.
Yeah.
So we went from there to a place called Intermark. We need to give them a shout-out.
Yeah.
That's the people you
emailed.
I was just sitting here trying to think of their name.
Yeah.
Intermark, who is a advertising agency, they're the ones that welcomed us and said, hey, you know, they sold the bottom floor or leased the bottom floor of that building, so we had to move because of some logistics.
Not because of them. But
not because of them, just some logistics stuff.
Major tenant that was
They were very kind in that transition. We left Intermark. Now we're at Norton's Florist on the corner of 4th and 22nd.
Yeah. And
see,
the thing about that, and we'll, you know, we'll definitely talk more about those guys in the days to come for sure, but with Norton's, that second time was not as easy as the first. I don't know if you remember, we hit so many roadblocks of businesses or parking lots that we would call, And as soon as they dug in and found the word homeless, it was like, no, not at our place. Norton's the day I called them.
Right.
Gus, the father, the owner at the time, and then his son Cameron, when I talked with them that day, they had me on speakerphone with both of them, and they was like, man, y'all can come meet this Sunday. I was like, well, we're not quite ready to move out yet. We've got a little bit of time. But they were on board from the beginning and opened up their business parking lot, no charge. I mean, just like have been such, and they've given so much like material things and just the ability to do that. I mean, it's been a beautiful thing to see.
And this is what's interesting, coming back to the whole Pioneer thing, okay? Mm-hmm. So if you were living in the 1800s and you decided you were going to load up your wagon and leave your town, your established civilized town that has a general store and has a local doctor, blacksmith, whatever they had back then, and you said, I'm going to go to the Great Plains.
Right.
And you get halfway out there and something happens. Mm-hmm. What do you do?
Yeah.
It's kind of that feeling a little bit spiritually speaking, because it's like if you're an established congregation and you have people coming that tithe and that look nice and everything, you call around, you probably have the money. Yeah. You can find a building quite easily.
Right.
You know, and I say all that to say this is where the faith part comes in. It's like, okay, God, what are you doing? It's like you're on that trail in halfway between Georgia and Texas or wherever, and you're like, I'm out in the middle of nowhere. What do I do? That's why we keep coming back to this pioneer, this idea. Mm-hmm. God has given us this idea of this pioneering thing, because it's like it requires it. Having faith in God is no longer an option. And that's what we're saying, like, through that is like in that sermon, that infamous, I call it infamous. It wasn't infamous, but it was beautiful. But it was in some ways kind of infamous. Like when you said those words, he's like, "What do we need faith for? We have." And you said it very passionately. I remember that day. It was like, "What's wrong with Keith today? He's a little angry."
Yeah.
But he's like, "What do we need faith for? We have refrigerators.
I was angry at myself.
Refrigerators full of food. We have cupboards. You know, we have closets full of clothes. What are we doing? You know." And it was little we know, it's like God had been building this, the people and the network and the pathway. It's like he was always one step ahead, you know? Yeah. And I just think that's just, I mean, it's so cool to be able to look back. And man, it's like when I'm 90, if I make it to 90 years old and I look back over my life, that's what I want to see.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see the moments, you know, that God came through, that I had no option other than to trust him, you know, because it's like, is that a scary way to live? Sure, it's a scary way to live. Why does God require us to live that way? Well, he requires us to live that way because we were meant to walk intimately with him. And there's no better way to live. There's no other way to find life in him other than to depend and to lean into him in every minute, you know? And I think that's what makes this, not only our friendship, but this church and everything just sort of be such a beautiful thing, and it's so compelling. Because every step of the way, God is like, okay, well, that messed up. Here's what you do now. Like, hey, I put this person in place. And it wasn't that simple. We did have to search a little bit, but man, just the beautiful part of God leading in every step, you know, and even the frustrating moments, you know, like we look back and it's like, you know, God knew, he knew he was going to come through for us, even though our, you know, we were low on faith or whatever. And now it makes those moments more, okay, well, what, you know, there's that verse where it says, you know, living like a, seeing God as, Paul says in the Message, he says something about where we cry, we don't live by a spirit of fear, we cry out, Abba, Father. In the Message, it says something about, Abba, Father, what's next? Like, what are we doing today? You know, like this holy expectation, because you go from a place of fear, sort of stepping out on faith and sort of, you know, like, I don't know, but I'm going to do it, to a place where it's still scary, but to a place where you get to where it's like, okay, man, I'm starting to get be expect God to do something now. I'm expecting him to come through and expecting him to lead me into a really cool place. You know?
Yeah. So. Absolutely. Well, man, it's been great getting together and doing this, our first episode. This is going to be the first of many.
Number one
episode. Looking forward to those in the future. I know we've already got some folks lined up. Can't wait to share more about that. But, man, we just hope you'll stay tuned and follow along with us. And, again, just our hope is in all this, we hope that whatever story is being shared, if it's a friend, if it's a partner in ministry, a guest that we've invited on, we just hope in those stories that, one, you find the ability to lean into God and become a saint, if not, you know, already. And then if you are, that you find your pioneering story. So,
yep.
Man, we're excited about it, and it's going to be a good ride. So we hope you'll continue to join us, but that's it for episode number one. We'll see you on the next one real soon. So thank you guys for joining us. See you next time.